Perfect. So this is our associates' night out.
Woohoo!
I've got water tonight though. I'm being good, and it'd be simply because I'm being recorded. So I felt I'd better hold it together. Oh, Lou's got her cup of tea. What have you got there, Sarah? Oh, nice. Like it. Like it. But what, yeah, Louise, you and Virginia actually requested this as just being how often we sort of get all fancy and we've got loads of lovely variations that we can work with, and there's loads of ideas, but actually working with a beginner, we can tend to lose it, or we tend, I think, to get stuck in a rut. So, you know, we sort of stick to what we know. So I was going to ask you, those of you that can either mute yourself or write a question, what things do you normally include in a beginner's class? What would you say you think are the important things to get across? So, what have you got for me? I'm just going to wait until it comes through. Okay, so Kim, you said breathing. Okay, perfect. Anybody else? Abdominal bracing, okay. Pelvic floor. Anything else? Just while it's in case anything else comes through, what do you think, moving the body freely, good. What do you think are the hardest things for a beginner to grasp? All the things you've just named. So in a way, the concepts that you're hoping for them to grasp, that you're introducing in that beginner's class, and this is just my opinion, are actually the hardest things that people struggle with. They struggle to breathe the way we want them to, and when we want them to, and how we want them to. They struggle to get that concept of what they need to switch on, what they don't need to switch on, and they struggle with their mobility. So the things that you're introducing straight away are the things that are the hardest things for them to grasp. Okay, so I'm just sort of throwing this out there for you to consider, you know, are these not concepts that we think they should grasp over time? And are they things that we feel that are so tricky to grasp and that it takes a lot of understanding in order to try and grasp it? So I'm sort of, what I'm trying to do is just get you to think outside the box. So the next thing I would ask you is, what exercises do you teach when you do your beginner's class? So you can, if you write them down in the box for me again, and just tell me which ones you think. What are your go-to moves? So we've got shoulder bridges, okay, pelvic tilts and shoulder bridges. What else have we got? Anything else? Okay, ab preps. Anything else? Roll downs. Yeah. Hip rolls. I'm loving your answers. You're all going to stop writing things down for me though in a minute, so I need to be careful. Chest openers, yeah. Single leg stretch, swan dive prep. 100, good. Okay, how hard are those moves to perfect? How hard do you think?
Pretty hard.
Yeah, really, really hard. You're looking at shoulder bridges, roll downs, hundreds in a way, have all got to have a very good sense of mobility through the spine and an equal ability to flex through the spine. And how many people do we know are not very good at flexing through the spine? They overflex the thoracic, don't flex the neck, don't flex the low back. Yeah? If you look at your swan dive, our clients, when they come to us, the majority of them are have forward shoulders, have a lack of thoracic extension. So what do we try and do to them immediately? Try and encourage them to extend the thoracic, but actually they haven't got the concept or the movement to begin with. And we're asking them to do something which sets them up in that those first few sessions to struggle. Chest open is great, hip rolls, single leg stretch, 100. For all of those, you do require to have quite a lot of mobility around the thoracolumbar junction. And often that's the area which most of us are locked in. So the purpose of this, I am going somewhere with this, but I want you to try and understand exactly what I'm thinking of here. So I'm sort of trying to get you to think outside of the normal area that we normally go to. And one of the things, all of the things that you've mentioned require articulation, good articulation of the spine, okay? What do I need prior to articulation to give me good articulation? There's one thing I need that makes my articulation so much deeper, so much better. Could be. I know where I'm going. This is like a good point of stability. Okay? If I've got an ability, a strong point of stability, a strong understanding of stability, my articulation will be so much better because I've got a strong base to move from. So if you look at the moves that you've chosen, they all require very, in order to do well, even minutely well, they need to have an understanding of articulation. Most people don't have that. I think we can agree when people first come to the classes, the one thing they struggle with is our roll-ups, our roll down correctly, performing the shoulder bridge well. Swan dive is a nightmare. Simply because we need to have a better understanding, first of all, of points of stability, of having a stable, strong base that we can then articulate well from. What do you think?
Yeah.
So if we, for example, I've sent you all a copy of a little of the 34 moves in that email that I sent you. Look at the moves for me, and obviously these are the original, you know, sort of positions, but which of these moves give you a strong sense of stability that you can focus on? So let's have a look. 100, strong base of stability. Yeah. The roll-up, let's look at the roll-up. Yes, it's articulation of the spine. And if you think about the position we take people to initially with the bent knee, look at the picture of the straight leg. Look at that huge point of stability that's there. So if I'm looking to encourage articulation, that has a huge base of stability. If I have the legs straight. So the pictures are in the email I sent you that had the link on it. It should have been in an attachment there. Have we got that? Have a look. I'll keep talking through the moves. One leg circle, good point of stability. Yeah, superb point of stability. If I have the leg straight along the floor, the gesturing leg could be bent. That's not the important bit. With my beginner's class, I would focus on that sense of stability of the straight leg, the rib cage, the arms down by the sides, and the knee circling is secondary. What I focus on is that sense of, can I keep the foot flexed? Can I keep the arms down by the sides and the rib cage quiet while that knee, while that thigh bone circles. So that becomes my focus in my beginner's class, instead of just talking about the circling leg. Because as I'm teaching my one leg circle to a beginner, for example, I can look at not letting them hitch the hips, so not letting one side shorten. I can think about having length, equal length down through the sides of the waist. Okay, and then the strength of that supporting leg, the strength of my arms, that little bit of pressure into the floor. And what I do is I give them understanding that with from that strong base of support, I can articulate at the hip and the spine if as I take it further. Okay. If we look at shoulder bridge, very tough move for a beginner. As we know, the amount of beginners that do a shoulder bridge can tilt okay, but then we know tend to lose flexion as they move higher up the spine. Instead, think of your shoulder bridge as a hip hinge for a beginner. So we don't do articulation, we do a hip hinge. So we take the bridge and we hinge at the hip using the feet and the arms. They're my strong points of stability. And then that hinge happens and then I drop back down and my hinge happens. So first of all, with my shoulder bridge, I've changed it from being an articulation into a hip hinge, which is going to better prepare them for a leg lift later on. Okay? And the articulation is almost a separate skill. How does that sound so far?
Yeah, good.
Yeah? Just giving you something else to think about. You know, your... It's to do with focusing. I mean, things like your leg pull front is a tough move because the only points of stability are the hands and the knees. That's why it's way down the repertoire. That's why Joe put it towards the end, because it's a tough move for you to maintain, and because there's no points of stability apart from hands and feet. That's why, you know, your sidekick kneeling is so far down the repertoire. When he starts, his points of stability are strong, okay? So if I looked at the classical repertoire, for example, the order of the mat, if I was, you know, Joe Pilates and, well, not Joe Pilates, but, you know, one of his original instructors, my order would be the 100, the roll-up, the one-leg circle, rolling back, I can give you this list, one-leg stretch, double-leg stretch, spine stretch, open leg rocker, saw, one leg kick, side leg series, seal, and push up. So all those things have in common a strong point of stability. So we've got 100, we've got the whole of the torso lying down on the floor, strong point of stability. Your roll up, we've got the whole of the lower body, which is going to help my articulation from, regardless, you know, so whatever level I go to. My rolling back, what's the point of stability? Any idea? Is that a question mark? The point of stability is the shape. Okay, good. Shoulders as well, but it's the shape. It's the fact that you do not change the shape. So the shape becomes your point of stability. That stays stable and doesn't change at all. Okay. We've got one leg stretch, double leg stretch. We've got the whole torso lying down. Spine stretch, again, we've got the whole lower body. Open leg rocker, what's the point of stability? Who's going to get in there first?
The shape again.
The shape, perfect, the shape again. Saw. Now, saw could be a move that surprises you that it would be in the beginner's repertoire. But saw, I've got, again, very strong point of stability coming through. Open one leg kick, strong points of stability. side leg series, very strong points of stability with the arm, the body, and the leg coming forwards. Seal, it's your shape, and then push up at the end because you always finish standing. So what you've got there is almost, for your beginner, try and, I think we get into a rut of always sticking to the same moves, same cues. We want to talk about breathing. We want to do moves that, you know, exercises that move them. But in a way, you're not, it can be very tricky to move them forwards. You know, because shoulder bridge, for example, is one I always correct. Even with instructors when they come, the shoulder bridge still isn't right on the articulation because it's such a tough thing to do. You have nothing under you. There's nothing in which to give you feedback. And so the swan dive, to find thoracic extension takes a long time for the majority of us because of, especially of our everyday lifestyle. So instead of swan dive, what might be a better thing to do?
Small back extension.
Tough.
Dart.
Tough. But you're doing the same thing, aren't you? Any ideas? Diamond press from Sarah could be getting better. Diamond press. You don't have to do extension lying on your front. And this is the problem. You're going against gravity and in quite a tough position. What about if you did extension in your shoulder bridge position by pressing into the hands? So you've got the back of the body on the floor and you lift the breastbone. You push off the floor to get your extension. What if you did it in a sideline position? Again, where you've got the sense of the floor underneath you and you can allow the extension to happen there. Yeah? Do you see what I mean? Sometimes we get locked into a certain way, which is nothing wrong with that, but It's whether we're actually helping people to achieve, because often people come to the class and there's certain moves, they stay at that level because they cannot find the movement. And always remember, if someone struggles to extend, flex them, rotate them, laterally flex them, go back to extension, and they can generally extend better because you've opened them up through all the planes around the vertebra and the facet joints, which then enables them to extend more. So especially with extension, things like just having them over a mini ball, over a weighted ball, a passive extension, because when I'm pressing into the hands lifting up, there's so much that can go wrong. So we almost need to simplify that. Take away gravity, take away the arms, take away the thought that it's going to go straight into their lower back or into their necks as they over move here, and give them something to help them first. How's that so far? Yeah, so good, Kim. So for example, Kim's written that, you know, for extension, you could do book openings. So think of it as an upper body rotation. So we take the arm up, so it's more rotation, but if I did decide what you're doing, are you going to want to rotate or are you going to want to extend? Because don't let people cheat, because people will extend the lower back and feel they're extending the upper back. So the best thing to often do is put something like a weighted ball around their thoracic, and as they do it, they go over the weighted ball, head still supported, and that can give them that lovely rotation and extension. So really, really nice, Kim, perfectly. But just be aware that they don't extend the lower back rather than the mid back. So from Joe Pilates' point of view, in the sort of more classical repertoire, you always work from a point of stability, strong point of stability first, nail that, then we move on to articulation and the two-way stretch. So, which I can do a whole other thing on that easily. But so I want you to consider the moves that you choose and just think about how complex they actually are. So Sarah Jane talking, why do I say Sarah Jane? I'm so sorry. Sarah, so what your question about with the push-up, what I would probably do is just teach the push-up. Okay, just teach the push-up. Most people are rubbish at push-ups anyway, as we know. And, you know, they love to just scoop on down the roll down and, you know, so teach the push-up. That's your strength. That's your point of stability. And then, yeah, consider the articulation. And I know we do want people to mobilise. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't want to mobilise people. All I'm trying to do is give you a slightly different angle into your beginner's classes, rather than immediately going for moves that actually are incredibly difficult to perform well. You know, it can be really, really difficult. You know, a good shoulder bridge is hard to find, to be quite honest. It's really hard to find. A good roll-up, it's not there often. You know, and you've got to think why. You've got to think, you know, this is something that people have been doing for years in my class, to be quite honest. Why are they not getting it? And just strip it back, take it back to the point of stability. See if they lose that or where they lose that. And then, so for example, if I'm doing roll-up with somebody and I've got their straight legs, they start doing their roll-up. When does that point of stability start gliding back along the mat? When do their legs start lifting? When do I see excessive tension in the front of their thighs and their hips? Do you know what I mean? And that then is their point. And that's where I've then got to work around that point. Does that make sense? Is that giving you something else to think about? Anybody? Use bands. Yeah. So what you're doing with the band really is you're closing the chain. So, yeah. And you're giving something for them to hang off. So definitely, I'm not saying don't use props to help them at all. What I'm saying is that when you're planning your beginner's class, don't just go for the moves that you always think, that's the one I need. So, for example, this month for the associates, the class plan I did, which I am going to send you actually, because I think you deserve it, being a Friday night. The beginner mat work that I did was, it started off with a focus on breath, okay, and using body awareness with the breath. And just how it felt through the body. It then went on to spinal rotations. So as you said, Kim, I did upper body and then I do lower body. So the hip rotations that somebody mentioned. I then did a dynamic hamstring stretch. And you'll see this when I send it to you. The moves I then chose with 100, but the 100 prep. So my 100 prep is the knees coming towards the chest, take hold behind the back of the thigh and curl the head up using the hands as your support. Then, so you find that sweet spot, then take the hands away and can you hold that position without any tension creeping into the neck? I then did the shoulder bridge hinge, so really connecting into the feet and the arms to give you that hip extension up. No articulation, hip extension up. Sorry, I'm just going to mute one of you. It's causing that feedback. Then I did the roll-up prep, which, again, some of you saw that at the convention, where I held behind the thighs like your 100, but then took that shape and used the thighs and the arms to roll that shape up. So my roll-up wasn't anything to do with trying to articulate through the spine. I found the shape, and then you kept the shape as you came up. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I can do a little video for that for you. I then did what I call your, what's called your TikTok leg. So it's like your one leg circle. Again, into the one leg circle position with the leg straight, okay, and the gesturing leg bent. And then holding the stability, the knee drops towards the midline and the knee drops out. So it's just a tick-tock leg, okay? That then went into one leg circle, okay? Then I moved on to the side leg series, okay? But with the bottom leg bent to 90 degrees, so you've got good stability. And you found the length in the spine and that stability by pressing the heel away, pressing the top hip away and finding that space and then holding it while you kicked forwards, leg lift up and circles. We then went into your one leg stretch. Where again, one leg stayed on the floor. So just like your one leg circle, but this time you curl the head up, you draw the other knee in towards you and then single leg you lengthen, pull in, lengthen, pull in. But that knee comes right into the chest so that you get the internal massage that Joe meant it to be, okay? Then I moved on to swimming, upper body only. So you had the whole stability of the lower body, using a prop if you want to under the pelvis, and then it's just upper body only. Arm lifting with the head. You could bring the hands into just like this position if the chest is tight, and lift that whole bit up. I then did one leg kick, keeping the head down though, and just working on the single leg, looking for the extension at the hip. And then we went back into rest position and we finished with a mermaid stretch. So, what do you think of that? I'm gonna send it to you. Any thoughts on that? Yeah, can you see how it's slightly different from what you might normally do? Go on, Susie.
Yeah, and it's different for me.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, I disagree with anything that anybody does. What I'm trying to do is give you a different thought process into it than always just churning out and trying to hammer breathing and hammer activation and hammer this that often people just... don't, you know, none of us, you know, do. I'm starting the mat work group tomorrow and I know I'll say to people, right, you've all been coming to Pilates classes for however many years. Let's look at your breathing. Let's look at your articulation. And I know that it won't be quite what we think it is, if I put it that way. And so, you know, I think that sometimes we need to take it back, find that stability, and then use that to then progress your mobility, the moves that you choose. I'm not saying that within a beginner's class you don't look to promote mobility, but maybe you need to do them as pre-Pilates moves instead of actual Pilates moves. Yeah? I know that we also want to talk about reformer a little bit, and it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Thinking about your moves on reformer, which require a good point of stability, that require you to be strong before you look to articulation. So again, I'll send you the reformer one, those of you that want it. But again, my exercises were beginning with footwork, doing heels on, and then doing a single heel, okay? Then doing toes on, single toes on, V position, single leg, into foot raises, and then into legs in straps and doing circles with a bent knee. So taking out the actual need for a straight leg, bringing it to a bent leg so you can work on the stability of the torso, but still create the mobility. Then went into frog. Before I went into short the spine prep, bringing the legs up and back down without the articulation. Into supine arm series, so arm press, reverse arrow and circles. Before I went into round back. Now round back, you may think, oh, that's a lot of articulation, but you've got such a strong point of stability with your feet under the strap that you can really find that point where you lose the connection and can then work in that connection. I got spine twist then on the short box, offering raises and your swan dive, Okay, but really focusing on keeping it small before you finish with side splits. Because side splits, you've got a great point of stability through the feet. So you think, oh gosh, the carriage is moving, but actually most people can stand well. So you've got your great point of stability that people are very familiar with, and then you challenge it. So what I sort of want you to think of is moves like that you might not include in your beginner's rep, like saw. Saw to me is a simpler move than shoulder bridge. It's a simpler move than one leg stretch. Because, you know, I've got this great point of stability that I'm working on. And one of the things I'd say as well is make sure that you've got this. If you sit somebody on a block, you take away their point of stability. Okay? Because they don't feel the legs, they don't feel the sit bones as much. Okay? Because all suddenly you've got is this tiny block. I mean, generally yoga blocks are about that big, and then the heels down. Okay, so suddenly that point of stability you've really, really reduced. So I'd much rather that they sat on a chair and did it, where the sit bones are down, their feet are down on the floor, and their thighs are generally on the chair. You could, you could allow them to have just a smaller towel. You could let them do the movement in a slight flex position. There's no harm in that. You know, if I'm looking at something like spinal flexion and rotation. Because I think often with our beginners classes, we look at it from spinal movements and we try and get in all the spinal movements and, you know, and whereas actually it's not really that. It's more about getting in point of stability. That will give me better articulation. That will then let me achieve well moves that require better articulation with smaller points of stability. So if you look down the repertoire from Joe, he starts off with strong points of stability, then he challenges that point of stability. So he takes you to just the shoulders in bicycle and scissors, just the feet and shoulders in shoulder bridge. He takes you to hip twist, hands, and just the back of the pelvis. He takes you to leg pulls, which is just the hands and the feet, before he reduces it even further to side kick kneeling, which is one hand on one knee. Your side bend is really a shoulder bridge on its side. And then he challenges you finally, no arms, no legs, just shoulders in control balance. So if you look, that's there for you. He's already told you how he wants you to work. And you just have to follow that and just create the mobility, maybe with pre-work, before you really focus on it in your classes, in the actual move itself. Any questions on that so far? No? If you've got anything for me as I'm talking, just throw it up for me. So the other thing I'd say, there is something I really, really believe strongly in, and I don't know if you agree or not, but stop the technical talk. You know, tomorrow I'll go into my class, go into the mat work, and I'll say, right, does anybody know what neutral spine is? Can anybody put themselves in neutral spine? And I can guarantee, no. I mean, first of all, you know, we don't often, you know, I don't generally teach neutral spine, but, you know, an elongated position. But, you know, saying things like, you know, our transverse abdominis, our even pelvic floor, most people don't have an understanding of it. Things like thoracic breathing, people don't generally. I've found that more and more my actual cues have stripped right back to just language like the back of the hip, the back of the leg, the front of the hip. I mean, when people say, oh, you know, it's my hip flexors, we have 11 hip flexors, 11 muscles that flex the hip. How do we know that it's that one or that one or that one? And I think that sometimes when we start with the technical talk, we potentially do it just because we feel it helps people trust us. We sound clinicians, we sound, you know, and actually it We don't need to do that. So I'd always say with beginners, keep it so simple, not simple language, but, you know, just keep it everyday language, unless it is something that you strongly believe in. I also say as well with beginners, keep the reps low, because we feel we need to say so much. And most people only need probably one cue of the 10 that we give them. Keep the reps low of the movement. Don't be wound up with them doing 10 or whatever. They don't need it. They just need 5, maximum 8, I think. And then move them on. Remember, they're going to come back to it and back to it. And, you know, we don't need to hammer a move. I always think as well, we need to consider why they're attending. And cater the classes a little bit for that. You know, if somebody's attending for, you know, they need to, you know, let go, which most people do, then obviously focus on that. But if somebody's coming because they do want to be challenged, then we want to challenge them. From the point of view of reformer and equipment, I always try and keep the spring change and the equipment change is very simple. Very, you know, easy to do. I try and keep blocks where the springs don't change, so that they can just, you know, there's less of the technicalities of moving it. And one of the things I would say is let people be bad. Let them be rubbish. You know, you see a lot of rubbish before you see any good. And sometimes I think we can try and perfect people in that first session. We can try and overcorrect. They're not going to damage themselves because the moves you've chosen, I hope, work from a strong base of support. I'm not looking to really articulate their spine. I'm looking to see the sticky bits and get into those, but I'm working from a really strong base of support, so I shouldn't be, you know, nobody should be getting themselves injured, even if they're not in quite the right position. You know, from, say, one of the main things that you hear is people say about their necks hurting. They shouldn't be up there for so long. So, you know, keep the reps low instead of, you know, as hammering through while we finish what we're saying. Change it round. Do what they need to do and you stop talking when they've sort of reached their limit, is my thought. Does anybody want to say anything? Please feel free to unmute yourself or write it in the box. So, oh, good. Nice and refreshing to hear, Sarah. Brilliant. So Kim said, cutting out the technical talk, what is the easiest cue to get beginners to feel their abs? Put their spine in the right position and move them. So give me a move, Kim. Give me a move that you want me to talk about there. And let me see what we've got. Is there a move, Kim, that you can put into that to let me know? Because for me, the abs should work to the level that we want them to work, for the purpose of the move that we're doing. So we don't want to overwork if the load or the activity they're doing doesn't require it, if that makes sense. Yeah? So what move, Kim, would you think of? And just while Kim's having a think, is there any other question? Okay, so shoulder bridge. So when you're doing shoulder bridge, should you feel the abs working? What level of shoulder bridge? Are we talking articulation or are we talking a hip hinge? So, yeah, Sarah said about letting the ribcage soften into the abdominals. So starting with pelvic tilts, should we feel the abdominals particularly work when we tilt the pelvis? Especially because we haven't lifted off the floor. So all you're doing is just tucking the pelvis. If you sit there in your chair and just tilt the pelvis, you feel an awareness of them connecting. But do you necessarily feel the abdominals working? Okay, so what I'm saying is the movement that you've created, which really is just lumbar flexion, requires quite a small level of abdominals to work. Okay, so especially when you're lying on the floor, okay, you're not actually challenging the abdominals too much. So you should feel maybe a connection, maybe a flattening, but you won't feel the abdominals working. You want to make sure you don't see the dome. And when you see the abdominals dome in that small tilt, that's because they're bracing rather than just allowing the bones to move. And they're over bracing, okay? So what you really want to think of there more is, I mean, I know I've spoken about this before, but, you know, I'm a fan of talking about bone, because bone cueing allows the muscles to work just when they need to. If you ever consciously cue a muscle, you will overwork it for the job it needs to do. Now, in some cases, that's fine to do. But for a pelvic tilt, that level of movement is so small that all you need is to focus on the lower back opening, the tailbone to lift, and that should be it. With good movement. If somebody's locked in the lower back, you may find that they will automatically contract through the hip extensors to find that movement. You may need to get people to connect into the inner thigh to find the movement, but the actual abdominal work is minimal there. So does that answer your question? Okay, so the 100. Okay, so with the 100, in order to get my length through the spine, I need that head to lift, okay? I need the body to be in that nice position. So whether you use a prop, whether you use some other support, I very rarely teach the 100 with both legs lifted and the head down. If I do, it's for a specific condition, such as osteoporosis or something. But, and then I would teach it with a different emphasis. Because the head down and the legs extended is an incredible load for the abdominals. The abdominals will obviously dome slightly, because always think about when the abdominals dome, it's because the shape of the spine isn't correct. Okay, so you've got the back extensors switch on. I mean, it's a little bit simple, but the back extensors fire in order to help support the abdominals, which means the abdominals dome because of the shape the spine takes as those back extensors connect, and obviously extend slightly, in order to support the load of the legs that you have given it. So first of all, you've got to think, what do I want to use if I'm taking that load that high? So what should happen is that when I come into my 100, I should have that lengthening into the low back, the head's lifted with the head coming in towards the centre of the body, so it's well supported. And then obviously I can then have the legs at whatever height I need to. So I also want to make sure that I've got the whole psoas connected and that strength coming from the legs to the spine to the upper body. But that, when I curl the head up, I'm then going to recruit a lot more abdominal strength in order to support and protect the lower back. So that's more where you would definitely need to feel the abdominals working at much higher level because of maintaining that spinal position. So if for example, I took my 100 back to just lifting a single leg, the load on the abdominals is small, so you're not particularly going to feel the abdominals working. And the last thing you need for a beginner is to get them to feel their abdominals working when the load does not match what they need just to hold a leg up. Does that make sense? Yeah? So always think that what you should be doing is purposeful. What am I asking their body to do, and what do they need to do it? Your body needs to become efficient. That's what we need to have, is an efficient work, not such an over activation just to feel the abdominals, because all you're doing then is creating rigidity and a waste of energy, a complete waste of energy. And the body doesn't understand it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Any other questions on that?
Hi.
Hello. So...
Have you finished the call?
No, no, not yet. You're fine, Lindy. You're fine. I have sort of gone through most things, but I'm just... I'm just coming towards the end. You don't need to leave yet, Sarah. I'm not quite... I'm just wondering if... I'd love to know your thoughts on what I've said, and if it's helped or not. Yeah? I'm not saying that mobility isn't important. I'm not saying that breathing isn't important. What I'm saying, though, is they are long-term goals. They are things that take a while. They are things, you know, we know that breathing helps mobility and helps our form and is something that we sort of need to, you know, it grows. But what we really want in our beginners class is a sense of achievement. We want them to feel awesome, no matter what level they've done. We want them to come back, because we want to put this down as a habit, as something that is going to go lifelong. And if we start on something like a roll-up or a shoulder bridge with articulation, that really we know that they get their bum off the floor and straight away they have gone into their lower back, and that is what's lifting them. They're no longer articulating. You know, they will keep doing that, and they will get to a stage where we ask them to lift a leg, because we're taking them that far, because they've now been coming to us for 6 months, and suddenly they can't hold their pelvis still, or their hamstrings really start spasming when they try to do a one leg stuff. Or we ask them to take it into an extended bridge, into a bridge with extension, and they feel it in their lower back. All these things happen because the original block that we laid down wasn't they weren't ready for it. They didn't have the skill to get into that thoracolumbar junction and get it moving. They jumped. So that's what I do in my beginners classes, I think. So as always, you might have some questions that you don't want to ask now, or things to think of. I'm going to send you the two plans, because I think that will help you see the way that I've taught shoulder bridge, because obviously it has teaching points and everything. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, please let me know. But I hope I've given you something to think about, rather than just think, oh, I teach shoulder bridge and roll up, and I teach spine twist and 100. And think more, what do they need, and what is their first building block that is going to allow them to articulate better, that's going to allow them to find the two-way stretch, which is then going to allow them to go to the advanced repertoire, which is so much more dynamic. So, yes. So, I hope that's helped everybody. It feels weird that I haven't been able to hear you. I feel as though I've been sat here on my own, even though I can sort of see some of you nodding and everything. And the other thing I'd say is that I do know that when we dependent on clients, this is the other thing as well. You know, if we have a client that has a dysfunction, for example, pelvic floor dysfunction, of course we may train them differently than this sort of general beginner that I've spoken about. Obviously this has not gone into any conditions or dysfunction. This has just been just a general beginner's thought. So any questions, ask. I'll stay here for a bit in case you do have any questions. If not, have a lovely weekend, and let me know what else you want on the next associates chat. And I can't believe that time's gone so quickly. So yes, so have a lovely weekend and I'll get ready for my hands on my new mat work. Get my hands into them and yeah, have a lovely weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Megan. Have a lovely.
Sorry? I didn't know what you said then, that went all funny. Oh, I take it there's no questions.
No.
Go on, Tiffany, go. Go, Tiffany.
I was just going to say, you know, I quite often find that they really want to fill the app, and then they want to start thinking all about ads.
Yeah.
You know, explain to them what people isn't just about working here, and everything you said, but in a couple of minutes, it's not spending the whole time going through it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really tricky one because I think you've also got to give people what they want. You know, we can have this idea of this is what I want. And that's why my 100, I will always teach it with the head up. So that you find that strong connection straight away. You feel the abdominals work. And as I say, you may need to support the head. You may need to use a band. You may need to use a mini ball around the thoracic so that they can find that curve. But as soon as they come into that position, they're going to feel the abdominals work. And then obviously, you know, the 100, you know, and things, same with single leg stretch, double leg stretch. I would bring them up and, you know, my double leg stretch, just the upper body, arm circling, tough move. So, but you still, if you keep the legs long and straight, you've still got a really strong point of stability, but I've got that abdominal work going on. So whereas we might, you know, with double leg stretch, keep the knees bent, what you might consider, Tiffany, is having the legs straight. So they've got a really strong base, potentially have to support the upper body, and then just have them circle the arms 3 times. It's a tough move, you know? So I think, you know, in our heads, we've often got it that beginners, head stays down. Which really is so hard because we're not encouraging them to find that full abdominal strength to move the legs from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
why giving them a hunt, you know, 100 reps or something makes you feel their abdominals, you can't find the length of them.
Yeah.
And at least they feel that they're actually not just rock hard at the end of it. So obviously for a little bit of time, where it's coming, the answer, there'll be other people coming for other reasons. But the ones that feel in the kind of classes really work on that cool or that they've got in their mind.
Yeah.
For me, I think I do have to explain a bit more why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing you could do is make sure you've got some of those abdominal focused moves in there.
Yeah.
And then, so that you're ticking their box, but then give them time to begin, you know, instead of us trying to tell them, just give them a few weeks before they suddenly think, do you know what I mean? So you've got a few weeks for them to understand that this is a whole body thing, you know, and you will strengthen the abdominals by doing all of these because in every single move you are working the abdominals. You know, it's sort of like when somebody walks in and says, I want to work my core, I tend not to argue with them. I'll just say, great, all these moves are going to do that. Do you know what I mean? Because me trying to say to them, although I did do it today to somebody, is, you know, your core doesn't work as you think it works. Shouldn't have done that, face like that. But, you know, in saying that, in just saying perfect, this is just going to be perfect for you. You know. Sorry, say that again.
Oh. Sorry, me. I was just talking to my daughter, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Linda. So I would, I'm not saying don't work the abdominals, but what I'm saying is get a strong base of support to work the abdominals. So, you know, if you think about the moves that they feel the abdominals in, you've got your 100, your one leg stretch, your double leg stretch, the whole stomach series, leg pull prone. I'm trying to think what else you might put in. Anything else that you really feel the abdominals? But all of those you could do at a beginner level, long legs, supported curve if they need it, they might not need it, and off we go. I mean, just doing your one leg stretch, as I said to you, of one leg stays on the floor, lengthened, the other knee comes into the chest and you've got the upper body flexed, that is a really tough move. Really tough, good move to do. So does that answer that a little bit? And it is hard, Tiffany, not to go into technical, but what you could do is do a little sort of ebook. Do you know what I mean? So for those people who are like, they want to hear, send out that ebook. You know, it won't take you long just to put together a PDF. Few pictures, talk about how Joe's powerhouse, and your ab people are going to love a powerhouse. You know, that they, you know, it's the front of the abdominals, but it's the back of the abdominals. So it's your psoas, it's your extensors, it's, you know, the glutes, it's, you know, and sort of give them that whole, we are going to work all of this and make you, you know, so that maybe just that little thing, and that's what people get when they sign up for their 6 weeks. And that will save you then having to, because what we end up doing, I think, is we end up fighting against people's established beliefs. And sometimes we've just got to let it go until they're ready to listen a bit more, because you can just hammer your head, you know, against a brick wall a little bit. So, yeah. That's okay. That's okay. And pelvic floor is the hardest.
Well, I know that.
So Kim, as you were saying, you know, teaching your beginner's class, don't be afraid. What I'd say is, I'm not saying keep the move simple at all. You know, I'm saying challenge people, but if you keep the reps low, it's a challenge and then I'm on to the next. And it's a challenge and I'm on to the next. And if they know they're going to come back to it next week and repeat those exercises, they're ready for that challenge the next week. It's not just a one-off. And I've only done a few. It's, you know, you could even do it as a little repeat. So you could plan a half an hour class and then repeat it, but have sort of like your prep ends up being your closing. And that can be a lovely way of teaching the class as a full circle. But you end up doing, you know, the 100 twice, but you've had a break of the other exercises in between. So that they sort of know that, okay, this time we're really going to connect. We might take it a little bit slower. Think about what you're doing. But then they know they're going to visit that move later on in the class. And yeah, that can be a really nice circle. And as I say, your prep, you change to your closing, make it a little bit shorter. And it's like the whole class has come full circle, which can add a really nice flow. Anything else? No? Are we all quite good on that? So, yeah, I wish you all a happy evening. And let me know, send in any questions, and obviously on the forum, you know, write any questions up. And if you do want to put together a beginner's class and send it to me, then you know I'm more than happy to look at it and give you the thumbs up, I'm sure. So yes, so have a lovely evening, have a lovely weekend, and I feel as though you don't want to go. I'm going to send you all the recording as well, so you've got that, okay?